I take my shirt off. Work all day, hustle and pray. Got nowhere to go. Got to catch my sugar, my plantain sugar, my plantain sugar, my plantain sugar. Ah, plantain, 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 plantain. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Shirtless Plantain Show, the Champions League Winners Edition. This is your host, Dean, and today I'm here with the whole gang. What's up, Gabby?
Man, I'm going to try my hardest not to cry. I cried a lot yesterday. I can't lie.
Good tears, good tears. Mitch, how are you?
I'm lovely. It was so, so special. I have followed this team from like a very aerial view and not like a just like in depth as much as the men's team, and I still got misty-eyed watching that trophy lift. Like watching Kim Little and Leah Williamson lift that trophy was truly, truly fucking special.
Good stuff. I don't know what you're talking about. Coach, how are you?
Yeah, I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good. I was willing the team on so bad that I think I saw it on my TV a record time, more than I did probably watching Arsenal this season in general. Seriously, I was, yeah. They must have felt my willpower at some point. You know, call me Hal Jordan.
The energy I'm getting from your various responses to my introductions is that you're very, 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 very much overcompensating for your shitty men's team, you bums. In any event, Arsenal won the Champions League. We generally don't talk about the Women's Champions League or the women all that often on the pod, but this just felt too important, and we were all watching, even if we don't necessarily follow on a granular basis, like Mitch mentioned. I mean, I've watched all the Champions League games from the quarterfinals, because what else was there to do? Yeah, so I watched the games. But for me, my history with the team is essentially when Viv was, you know, popping, I got into the team. When she got injured, I kind of lost a little bit of interest, but I followed the results, I watched the big games, and I imagine that's kind of how it is for the larger Arsenal fan base, is my guess.
I feel like the ones who are, at least, who are not in North London, because I feel like they tend to show up and watch those games a lot. But like for us who are, you know, across the fucking pond, right, we're probably not. It's a lot harder to watch those games or right, find those games. So we're not watching it as much unless you're a huge, huge fan.
Yeah, but I think given the magnitude of the occasion, this deserves to be treated like every other pod we do. So we'll see if this turns into one long pod that covers the women and the Southampton game, or if it's just a pod on its own. We'll find out together, people. Let's get into it. So this pathway to the final, Lyon, Real Madrid, these are supposedly good teams if they're in the Champions League. I wouldn't know, Gabby. What do you know about this? I know Lyon.
Listen, I feel like we took the hardest path possible to get to that trophy. I can't lie. I mean, granted, we should have won against Real Madrid, which we did. That first game was a struggle. Very much pissed me off. Caicedo, though, if you need to find another club, we are available. But after coming back in both those games back to back, coming back in the Lyon tie and the Real Madrid tie, I was like, We just get ready to make magic. We can do this. Just have a inch of hope, just an ounce of hope. I love that nobody believed in us other than Arsenal fans. Like, nobody believed that Arsenal were going to win it, and then we did. It just felt so good. I mean, I don't know if you guys saw the quotes from what's that fuckface called? Whoa. The guy from Barcelona. Laporta. Thank you. I mean, he was celebrating their third in a row already. The game wasn't even played. Yeah, like, shut the fuck up.
Well, those are your very polite champions. Coach, you had something for us.
Yeah, I was just going to say, the Real Madrid game, the first game, like, the pitch, guys. Like, we were talking about foul play and shit. Like, yeah, that wasn't cool, and it was just very satisfying that I don't know if everyone noticed, but they took our pitch, man, years back. I've forgotten his name, but they took our pitch guy. Real Madrid took our pitch guy years and years ago. I don't know if he's still there, but it just felt very, very satisfying that we were able to win on the actual carpet, you know, after the shit they put us through in the first game. That was my real story of that tie, to be honest.
Yeah, Florentino spent a decade trying to get Arsene Wenger. When he couldn't get him, he settled for the grounds, man. You know, I'm very wise, man. He said, I'm leaving here with something, you know. Oh, my goodness. Mitch, I got to be honest with you, man. Gabby talked about only Arsenal fans having faith in the Arsenal. I'm going to keep it a buck with you, man. Based on the results, based on the fact that they destroyed Chelsea, a team that just won a domestic treble, 8-2 in their semifinal, I was like, let's just not get humiliated. Where were you on this?
I think a nice thing about not having as much of like an emotional connection as I do with the men's team made it so I was just like, hey, the Champions League finals happening this morning. I'm going to be sitting down and watching it. I'm excited to watch, and hopefully we do well. And I didn't really have any expectations. I knew, like, obviously I know all about how fucking good Barcelona are. They've got two of the last, like, four Ballon d'Or winners in their midfield. Like, they are an unbelievable team, stacked with talent. They've won two straight Champions Leagues. They are not to be fucked with. But I've also know how good and resilient this Arsenal team has been under Rene since she's taken over. And I know how talented they can be because I've seen the glimpses of it over the years of, like, I know how good Frida Monum can be. And, like, she's kind of come into herself more this season. And we have all this talent around the team, so I know that we're in this position for a reason. It's a final. Anything can happen. Let's fucking do this.
Well said. Lineup. Beth Mead and Stina Blackstenia started from the bench, Gabby. Were you expecting this? Was this the right route from Renee?
Yes. Beth has had a rough season, so I while we all know how good she is, like, obviously she's a great player, one of the best players on our team, but I think she's had such a rough season that I think that her coming in to dead legs would be better than her starting. And Stina can't start for us. I love her down, and we'll get to that, but she cannot start for us.
Super sub extraordinaire.
Exactly. She has to come on as a sub.
That's a job. Their entire managers based in Turkey right now that based an entire career off being super subs, you know. So I started watching the game with everybody else, had it on. It was free on DAZN on YouTube. I appreciate DAZN. I think this may be me giving Saudi Arabia a compliment, but sports washing is working on me. But yeah, thanks for the free look. But I thought we started fantastic, Gabby. Unlike the men's team, in games against teams that aren't even nearly as good as this Barcelona women's team are relative to their sport, this was a good start. They went out with a high press. Were you expecting that approach?
Listen, Barcelona women's team would have slapped the shit out of Spurs in that Europa final. So I was like, listen, we came out the blocks like swinging. I said, okay, I love that. Like, just like you, I wasn't thinking that we were gonna win the game, but I was like, anything could happen. Just don't get blown out. You know what I mean? Like, you're gonna have to. There's gonna be a period of the game where we're gonna have to weather the storm. And I thought it was gonna be within the first like 15 to 20 minutes, Barcelona was gonna come out and act like the champions that they are. But it wasn't. We had chances to score. We didn't score. And I was like, we still look good though. You know, it's not like it's a back and forth basketball game. We were like really pinning them in for a little bit. I just was hoping in the back of my mind that this wasn't come back to bite us, because I was like, please just don't like get to halftime. Like, don't concede before halftime. That's all I care about. And then we can see what happens in the 45 minutes.
Yeah, you definitely have to convert your chances in any version of this sport. There was a Caitlin Ford header that went wide. There was a Kelly volley that went over the bar. There was a little shot that went over the bar.
She should have done better with that, you know. I think, you know, the volley from the cross.
Yeah,
she should have done much better with that, I reckon, man. That's where the swearing started for me. I can't even lie.
I can't even lie. The Caitlin Ford header, I was like, you did as good as you could with that one, but I wish somebody was following up on the back post. Like, nobody tried to follow that ball. Yeah. That was an easy tap in there.
Yeah. Then Mitch's girl, Manum, had a really nice shot that Kata Call saved. Nice save. I can't remember a lot of Barcelona chances in the early part of the first half. Like, not even towards the end of the first half. Like, generally, we got to the half thinking we should be ahead, Mitch.
Yeah, I think the Arsenal obviously did a great job defending, evidence of the fact that we got a clean sheet. But I think the strategic defending in general, like, we just had Barca taking shots from outside the box constantly. Like, that's what we were just forcing them to do. Like, Leah Williamson was the best player on the pitch. Like, she fully played out of her fucking mind, and just had a defensive masterclass, really forcing Barcelona to take shots they didn't want to take, and when you have a good goalkeeper as well, that helps, and you will probably win a game like that.
Coach, in the 21st minute, we actually got the ball in the net. A Chloe Clay cross on the break got deflected in by Irene Paredes, and I think I knew watching it live that it was probably offside. But how loud was the cursing in that moment?
So, to be honest, I was really pleased that we kept attacking them down the side of the screen, long down the sides, because that was where we was getting in a lot in that first half. Like, it was so obvious. Barcelona wanted to play higher and dominate, like, in our own half kind of thing. And the out ball down the side was always there, and we always had winning running. So the fact that it wasn't just restricted to the left side, it came from the right side this time, I was pleased. But yeah, I knew straight away pretty much that she was off. But it's good in terms of in a final, once you can put the ball in the back of the net, whichever way it comes kind of thing, like, at least you know, okay, what's the line from the Predator film? If it bleeds, we can kill it. One of those ones. do you know what I mean? It's like, okay, you know, they're not impossible to beat. And the first half, I think by far, Arsenal were the better side. Like, it wasn't even, I don't think it was particularly close. I don't think you have to dominate the ball and, you know, have all this slick passing to look like the better side. Arsenal just looked way more competent, and they looked ready more than anything. Like, I was initially worried, and then after the first 10 minutes, I was like, no, Arsenal belong here. Like, I know it's Barcelona and things can go crazy quite quickly. Like, look at what they've done to Chelsea, but Arsenal belong here.
But we ain't Chelsea.
Yeah, exactly that. And we're not going to shit the bed. So, yeah, that was, you know, that chance coming, I was like, okay, yeah, Arsenal definitely know they can hurt these guys for sure.
Good stuff, Coach. Gabby, given your negative demeanor in the best of times, going into half 0-0, how did you feel? Were you confident? Did you think the plan was still in motion? Or were you like, we've probably missed our opportunity to get ahead of these guys here?
Funnily enough, I felt more confident in the second half than I did in the first, which is very unlike me. I feel like once you, like I said earlier, once you weather the storm, like we came out the block swinging, but it never felt like, I feel like with the men's team, where we get a lot of chances and if we don't score, we're going to get punished. I never felt like we were going to get punished because we were just keeping them at a distance. Like, just like Mitch said, they were shooting from way far out. And while that still scares me because Aitana can hit them, I was like, I'm okay with that. You let them take shots from 30 yards, wherever, like, that's fine with me. As long as it's not close, as long as Daffy's not taking, like, a million saves from really close in the box, you know, like, we're slipping and sliding all over the place, which we were not. Our back line was so, so good yesterday.
Right, they did look quite solid. Mitch, did you have any thoughts for what we needed to change, or was it just more of the same from you at halftime?
I thought, like, more of the same at the half was going to be good, and that's kind of not what we got. I thought Barca came out of the second half, like, way, way better, because I was, like, really impressed with how we played in the first half. So it's funny that the half where we actually get our goal is the half that I was kind of upset with how we were playing. Right. Or more so, I think just Barca raised their level. I think Barca started playing more like they should in the second half, but we still did such a good job of limiting their chances.
Right. That said, Pina hit the post at one point off a deflected shot. It kind of looped onto the post. Onabache shot wide. Bonmati had a shot that Van Domsler had to save. So that was probably the first save I remember for Arsenal from the match, and that would have been past the hour mark. So that meant we were doing okay. Then there were some other shots from distance as well. There was a Payor header that got saved as well. But it never really felt like we were under the cosh, Coach, did it?
No, not at all. And that's the go back to Mitch's point about Leah Williamson. Like, she was, for me, player of the match, pardon me. It wasn't even close. Like, she looked like a giant amongst them. And when that's coming from your centre back and your captain kind of thing, it makes everybody else just grow with you as well. And yeah, like there was confidence coursing through the team. So despite them having, you know, a lot of the ball and, you know, shooting, you know, whichever way they could, Leah Williams and Marshall, they all, she was like, yeah, as long as we keep the shape here, and if anything does get through, I'm there to clean up kind of thing. There was no issue there. I didn't really feel like, correct me if I'm wrong, I didn't really feel like Arsenal were in any real sort of danger in that game, despite Barcelona having Putellas and Pina, do you know what I mean? Like these ridiculous players, but I just didn't feel it at all.
I mean, there's a reason why I'm wearing her kit right now, because she was a monster at the back yesterday. Just like, which I will be waxing lyrical about her later, but I just felt like even though they came out swinging in that second half and started to up their level, they were doing the thing where they're running in behind on the wings for a lot of those attacks that they were, but the cutbacks were either too far or not close enough, and there was a lot of, I think Kim Little had like the most recoveries yesterday. She had like 9 or something like that, crazy. There was a lot of like everybody playing together. While Liam was absolutely leading the line, everybody was playing together. Everybody was doing their job, clearing balls. We had a lot of block shots in that game. And I was like, oh, yeah, like we're locked in. Like we're locked in.
That's what's up. Mitch, in the 68th minute, the subs came on. Beth Mead, Lena Hertig, and Stina Blackstenius. Now that we know what happened, we know that was definitely the right call. But given your 30,000 foot view of the team, like, were you expecting this sort of? Because I've heard good things about Renee's substitution patterns. Apparently, she's really good at changing the game from the bench. Like, one, were you expecting this? And two, obviously, it was the right decision. But at the time, how did you feel?
Well, Hertig came on later, because if she came on in that substitution, I would have probably been mad about it, because I'm a hater of her because of the World Cup. But Mead and Blackstenius coming on, I thought was, I mean, definitely makes sense. Like Abby was saying with Beth Mead, of just like someone who we want coming on against tired legs, like we know how good she can be. And then Blackstenius just has that clutch gene in her. She's real good at scoring in finals. She's real good at scoring when we need her. And then those two combined for the goal. So obviously hindsight 2020, but like, how can you not look at the manager and be like, Renee, you coached a masterclass. Like that's incredible. Even like Michael Cox from The Athletic, who I respect so highly as a soccer writer, was just like in awe of like the way that she tactically aligned Arsenal for the game, and then was able to make these subs of like, it kind of made sense that Blackstenius would like do well in this kind of game. Like she even had a couple of chances later in the match too. Like she had a lot of
literally really could have hat trick
of finding its ways, which I feel like you could say about Stina for like most matches that she plays. Like could have had a hat trick, but found the space so well. She was so smart with that run for the goal. And I think it complimented Russo a lot too, because I thought she did so well in this match. She didn't get on the score sheet or anything. Obviously, we won 1-0. But like, she was such a good outlet for us. And then bringing on someone like Blackstenius, who was also another outlet, was, I think, a huge way for us to not only get this goal, but relieve the mounting pressure that was on us from Barca.
Okay, so I've heard a lot of really nice things about Stina Blackstenius. But when we started this podcast, Gabby very jollily shared that she cannot start for Arsenal. If she has all these good qualities, why can't she be a starter?
Listen, if anybody who doesn't watch the women's team doesn't know what we're talking about, there is a meme online, a famous tweet about Stina on Twitter, that you can give her that 8th, but you sure can't give her that 9th chance. I'm telling you. One thing about Stina, she's going to miss some big chances. She actually kind of reminds me of Kai Havertz in that way. She's big, she's strong, she's fast. She's very good at running in the behind. I don't know how she constantly gets in, like, almost 1v1 with the keeper. Like, almost always behind the defenders. But for some reason, like, she always, like, messes up the finish. But not this time. Like Mitch said, she is very good at scoring in finals. She scored against Chelsea. Fuck them, specifically. She scored against Man City. Now scored against Barcelona. Those are really good teams. And I'm just like, if you could just be a little bit more consistent with your finishing, you'd be a great striker to pair with Russo. But that's why she's a super sub.
Yeah, I think you just described Yaya Sanogo. That's very interesting. the actual goal itself was after a corner, the second phase, Mariona Caldente passed from the wing to Beth Mead at the top of the box. Slick reverse pass into Black Stanius. She rolls a pass catacall for 1-0. Wonderful moment, but again, Barcelona didn't really do anything afterwards. I mean, you kind of... I mean, I think in the moment, I sort of felt the stress of, oh, we got to hold out, we got to hold out. But looking back, I can't really think of a big save or a big moment that Arsenal had to get through. I mean, the 8 minutes of added time seemed kind of UEFA corrupt, you know, we're used to that. But we got through it pretty comfortably. Lea Williamson was obviously person of the match, player of the match, woman of the match. I'm better at this. But coach, I'll let you start with this one. What does this mean for the club? It's been, was it 18, 19 years since we last did this?
Yeah, 2007. And you know, there's a graphic or picture going around comparing the last time they won it to yesterday, right? And it's just really nice and refreshing to see, just plainly, I want to say this as bluntly as I can, how much love and care has gone into the women's game since Arsenal last won it. Because they're playing to me, to my mind, I can't remember what it looks like. They might have been boring wood, I don't know. But put it like this, it's basically a training pitch, basically where they're playing. That's what it looks like. Compared to Lisbon yesterday, packed out stadium, coverage. I watched it on TNT Sports where they show all the other regular big Champions League games and what you call it, the Women's Champions League games as well, obviously, and regular season games in the men's game as well, kind of thing. And Champions League games, actually. So the fact that it's getting that attention, I think I said it a couple of weeks ago that I would count on one hand in a year how many times I'd be able to see a women's game on TV years back. Like, and it would be on terrestrial channels and not the popular ones, like on the ones you have to search and find, basically. And now they're front and center, and you're getting free streams on YouTube with them as well. So the visibility that it's given the club, just off that alone, like we're the first club, if you like, to win it in this sort of new hyper visible era of women's football, it means a lot. Like, we're now, like, you know, that's the vision that's gonna be imprinted in a lot of people's mind. This is gonna be a lot of people's first time ever watching a women's football game, regardless of what team it is, you know what I mean? And now it's like, oh, the first game I ever watched was Arsenal beating Barcelona, you know, and they were heavy, they were heavy underdogs, you know. All these things go into the lore and into the story of the club, and especially the women's team as well. You know, for me personally, first Champions League final I remember ever watching was Dortmund versus Juventus, hence why I'm so connected to Dortmund one way or the other, kind of thing. And now I hope a similar connection can be made for a lot of people that I were watching yesterday as well, where they're just, you know, that they're attached to Arsenal because of it now.
To go off of that, yeah. I really relate to that in a big way, because it's like the Arsenal women have been a team that I've like followed, but not like to the full. You know, you only have so much bandwidth when it comes to sports, like how much care you can put into so many teams. And I think that A, that win was just amazing, and B, I think like, for me personally, at this time in my, as an Arsenal fan, I'm in a weird, complex place, not necessarily with the results on the pitch for the men's team, but with other stuff. And I think it was a very nice thing for me personally to cheer and root for a very wonderful Arsenal team that I know I can still support, regardless of what happens this summer with the men's team. And I think that like that meant a lot to me to watch. It was like very, very cool to like to watch that and feel very connected to it, because of just like how connected I am with Arsenal, even if I have been looking down from 30,000 feet at the women's team the last few years. It's still like I still love Arsenal, and I know a lot of these players still, like, and have this connection, and so it was very, very cool. If I may steal a host thing from you real quick, Dean, and ask Gabby.
No, you may not. No, you may not. No, fuck that. Go ahead.
Okay. two things that I wanted to ask, because I just, you know, haven't watched this team in a while. Steph Catley played center back. When did that start happening? She wears 7. Last I thought that she was not a center back last time I was watching these games. And then the other one is Leo Vaiti didn't play. Is she coming back from injury, or is she just not as much a bigger part of the team this year? Because she was like a huge part of the team the last few years.
I wish I could answer those for you, because I genuinely have not paid attention to the women's team this season specifically, because the men's team has taken all of my time and attention and anger. Cadley is an interesting one, because I feel like there's a lot of people in this squad that I felt like were kind of on the way out, or at least on the way to the bench, and I kind of felt like she was that almost. We didn't have a great season in the league. We even didn't have like a great run up to the final. Even like we lost those two games to the final, and I just felt like this season specifically, because we lost. Why am I forgetting her name? She's a plays for the Orlando Pride now. The center back that we lost, that was paired with Leah. Thank you. When we lost Raffaele, that was like a huge, they were a great center back pairing. And I felt like Leah could really like lean on her. And now that she lost her and she also tore her ACL, her leaning on Catley was not the same. We did not look the same when we were playing, and it was just rough. Leah coming back from a major injury was rough, and Catley wasn't playing well. And I felt like, oh, also we started with that fucking degenerate Jonas at the helm, which I will get to later on.
You better get to it now, because I ain't coming back to that degenerate shit.
Listen, I don't know. I know we joke about this. Like, I know we joke about that, what's the joke that we say, that goal against us for Manchester City at the beginning of the season, we'll never know the destruction that it did for us. Like, we don't know, like, what was going to happen at the end of the season. But that's how I felt. Like, whoever, wherever you may be, or whoever you are, you're probably not listening to this pod, but that person who painted on that wall, Jonas out, you will never know what you have done for this club. Like, you were the one to start the domino, the kick over the dominoes. Like, thank you. I could never repay you for what you have done. Genuinely. That guy is a fucking criminal. Anyway. I don't know when she started being a center back, but like, I'm glad that she played today, because they, like, I felt like Arsenal came into this not just being an underdog, but like, I felt like they were just more passionate. Genuinely, they were just more passionate than any other team. I think it's kind of hard to be as passionate the third time you're going for a title than the first time or the second time. Although, to that girl who has played in the final like 5 times and lost, I'm sorry it had to be you. I'm so sorry it had to be you. That sucks.
She's like a living embodiment of Juventus, I swear.
That's terrible. It's literally
Juventus.
All right. Let's do some quick hits before we get out of here on the very great achievement that the woman had. Renee Schlegers is now the youngest woman to win the UEFA Women's Champions League, only 4 months into the job. Does she deserve a statue? Yes or no answers. Go.
Yes.
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 Well said, guys. I also feel that way. Ballon d'Or talk. Mariana Caldente. Is she the main candidate on the team, or is it Russo?
No, it's Leah Williamson. Thank you very much. Have a good day.
We don't. Like, listen, you're the one that came on this pod not that long ago to talk so much shit about, if you're not an attacker, you don't deserve to get awards or have money paid for you or have happiness in your life. You need to die in a cave by yourself. Williamson gets a pass? What's this?
I'm not being funny, but did any of these guys win like a Champions League as captain of Arsenal Football Club? Right. Okay. I rest my case. Thank you.
All right. Mariana, she had a play at the end of the match that was like maybe one of my favorite plays in the entire game, where she just like complete, like Barca were just really pressing in extra time or in stoppage time. She took the ball like by herself to the other side of the field and just like crossed two people up and then really slowed it down and then won a free kick that just like basically just like ended the game. And it was
I literally screamed amazing at that moment.
Yeah. Katie McCabe also had a few. We can't go talking about this game without talking about Katie McCabe, because she had a vintage performance of just being a fucking shithouse. and she is so goddamn good at that. And it was amazing.
Yeah, but back to Mariana. She strikes me as, and I don't think this is like a bad thing per se, but I feel like she wouldn't be a Ballon d'Or contender if she wasn't at Barcelona, because there's a hierarchy on that team and she was always going to be behind Putellas and Bonmati. So I want to think there's more to it than that for her leaving the place. And it seems like there's still a lot of love between her and her old teammates. She definitely consoled all of them before she came to celebrate with the rest of the team. But yeah, she's she for me has always been the standout whenever I've dipped into the season. I'm like, this, it's almost like she reminds me of Cesc back in the day. Sorry, coach. Don't look up. She just the creation, the intelligence in her game, the IQ. I kind of hope she wins the Ballon d'Or, but if she doesn't, and someone else on Arsenal's team does, I'm very happy.
Listen, it's between her and Risa. I will be happy with either one of them winning the Ballon d'Or. The only other thing I have to say before we go, because I know you're like ready to talk about this nasty ass Southampton game. I will say, this is the time I'm going to try not to cry, because one of my favorite players ever in the women's game is Alex Scott. I love her so much. She's probably the reason why... See, now I'm about to cry! Like, now I'm pissed off! She's probably the reason why I, like, one of the reasons why I love Arsenal so bad. The fact that she was in the stadium watching her team win, knowing that she was the winner, and not only the winner, but also the goal scorer when we won in 2007. This is your legacy. I just want you to know that. This is your legacy.
That is so sweet, Gabby. I'm glad you were willing to dig that deep.
One day the men's team will make me feel like this, but not today.
Inshallah.
Guys, for the first time ever, SPS has range. We were heartfelt for the first time. We did it, guys.
Listen, man. These motherfuckers talking about someone to do a pod yesterday. I was sobbing yesterday.
Speak for yourself, Mitch. I say pause every week. That's a lot of emotion. You don't understand where I gotta dig to dig those out for. But anyway, we have to talk about this nasty ass game, as Gabby called it. Actually, you know what? Before we go, in order, what was your favorite part of the celebration at the stadium after we won? Mitch, you start. Gabby, you
start. There was a moment of Katie McCabe, and I think it was clearly her younger sister, where she was just like kind of forcing her sister to also have the trophy with her and like bring it towards the fans. And I thought that was just really, really cute and like really fun. And then also Ian Wright being on the pitch.
Yeah, that was two moments. So I'll give you one, which would be the McCabe moment. And okay, that is just proof positive that you have a thing for Irish women. We'll get into that later. Coach.
Mine was probably just the actual sole picture of Renee just on her own standing on the podium. Like that to me was just, yeah, that is, that's just amazing photography for me. It's just, it says it all without saying much, you know. So
yeah, as the kids say, she was aura farming.
Aura farming. Yeah, over 9,000.
All right, Gabby, take us home. Which was yours?
Mine was Alex Scott taking a picture with Cena.
Good shit. And on that note, congratulations to the Arsenal women. Thank you for making us proud. Thank you for giving us a moment to see the season out on a high. Because like Mitch said earlier, it's been a tough season. So to have this moment, just have something to hold on to. Like, I mean, I don't care about anything else that has happened besides what happens to Arsenal. And this is a good thing that happened to Arsenal. And I'm very proud of them. On we go to the nasty ass St. Mary's, Gabby's least favorite stadium in the country.
I hope I never see that stadium again.
Actually, I have a bit of a soft spot for Southampton, but we're not going to get into all that. The lineup, guys, I don't have it in front of me because I was so focused on the other thing, but suffice it to say, people, it was weird. Coach, you can help me out with this, I feel.
Yeah, so it was Raya, White, Kirill, Tierney, and Zinchenko. Actually, no, that's a lie.
Yeah, Zinchenko. It was then Zinchenko. Five. Then Rice. Then Marino.
Zinchenko five. Marino. Martinelli. Sterling. I feel like we're missing one more, but we're not.
No, not really. I think we named everybody.
Yeah. So.
Said Sterling. That's everybody.
Yeah. Right. We said Rice. Yeah. We said Rice. Yeah. Yes. All right. Yeah. So yeah, that was the lineup, and it was weird.
It was weird. Mitch. When the game started, did you watch this game, please? Tell me you watched the game.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Because I watched this game so that I could talk about the Champions League final. I did not want to watch this. But I got a KT goal out of it, so it was worth it.
Come on, Mitch. You spoil everything.
People who listen to this podcast know that KT scored. They know what happened in the game.
The show has an order, Mitch. Shut up. Where's Gabby?
Oh, 3 years in and I don't know how to pod. I'm sorry.
No, because you'd be off half the fucking time doing white boy shit, you know. Come back, fuck up the order. Anywho, I was very confused by the initial lineup. The game was kind of frantic to start as well. So for a second, Coach, and you saw this in the chat, I was like, are we using a different formation today? Because I was once I saw that, what's his face? There was no Jorginho, there was no Saka, there was no Odegaard. I kind of thought we were about to see another five at right back game, and I was like, fuck. And on top of that, there was no Calafiori.
Yeah.
I was so sad, guys. I almost went to sleep. Like, I'd been looking the whole week, I was like, we're going to watch Calafiori at center back, and he wasn't even on the bench. Does anyone know what happened to my Italian brother?
I haven't heard anything, but it's. To be honest, I reckon he gave us that second half and his body was like, yep, 1, 2, 3 Cancun. Like, I've done my look. That's all it was, more than anything. I hope he's not serious, but he gave us a lot in that second half last week. Let's be fair to him. I mean, 45 minutes is a long time for an underwear model, you know. So
I'm getting a little concerned about him. I'm hoping that this was just maybe the medical staff are like, you know what? Instead of him playing another game and proving his fitness and having Italy call him up, let's just keep him here by keeping him off the bench entirely. You know, coaches do that sometimes, you know. So, and Arteta, we all know, is a liar. So, you know, you just never know. I mean, he doesn't lie to us, but he's a liar. but what we ended up seeing was that KT, Kieran Tierney, in his final game for Arsenal, was at the left center back. Kivior moved to the right. More proof of how good that guy is, even though he's done it before. Ben White was at right back. Initially, I thought Rice was kind of playing in a double pivot with five, but that's not really what it was. It just kind of felt that way at the beginning. And Rice was also the captain for the first time. Gabby, do you want to get messy?
I guess I'm going to have to. I saw a lot of tweets about this. I think that's what most people were talking about when they saw the lineup, other than Calafiori. Now, granted, I kept it casual. I said, listen, there's no Saka, there's no Georgie, there's no Gabby, there's no Odegaard. He's the next one up. Fair enough. But there's a lot of people who want him to be captain. There's a lot of people who think this is a test run for next season or whatever. I don't think that's going to happen. I can't see Arteta ever taking the captain's armband away from Odegaard unless he gives it up. If Odegaard says, you know what, fair enough, which I don't think will happen either, but we'll see.
That was sufficiently messy for me. I appreciate the effort. I like that. Mitch, I feel like you have something on this.
Yeah, I feel like it's what Gabby said. It's not a conversation. It's like he was just next up in the pecking order. I as soon as Saka came on, he gave Saka the armband because Saka's above him in the pecking order. As soon as Odegaard came on, he gave him the armband because he's above him in the pecking order. I don't think it's really a conversation, but, you know, as a resident Odegaard hater, I think you're messy enough to bring it up.
Well, I mean, we covered the game. Stuff happened. Yeah.
Fair enough.
I have no... I'll say this much. You cannot go back to any point in the season. I mean, I've criticized Odegaard from here to fucking Acapulco, but I never once said he should lose the captaincy. Not once. Because I just think it's such a non-issue. Go on, Coach.
I just remember we forgot Wanyeri, guys. That's who we forgot.
It's fine. Yeah. We shouldn't be talking about it. It's not even 18. We did a good thing. Yeah. All right. This section of the pod has started great. we started really well in this game, I thought. Two early headers from the left. Martinelli hit one wide, I think, and Marino hit one high. But they were both very, pretty dangerous chances. At one point, Ethan, who we forgot earlier, combined with Raheem. Raheem had a nice shot that probably could have been a nice party moment for us, but he has, you know what? I'm just going to ask a question. Gabby, why are Jamaican men such frauds? And why can we get our money back?
Listen, I can't speak for them. Never believe a Jamaican man. The only Jamaican man you can trust who is actually trustworthy is Ian Wright. And even he has some colonization in him, so I don't know what to tell you.
I thought you were going to say Bob Marley.
No.
Oh, man. But yeah, I started watching Southampton players because I was like, well, they are dropping down. There might be a gem or two besides the dibbling boy. And I don't think he played at all today. So I was like, who might be good on this team? I thought Ugochukwu looked sharp in the first half. I thought, what's his name? Sulemana. He was really good on the break for them.
Yeah.
Like, if he can't do what he does for a different team, but 30 yards closer to the other team's goal, that's a player. That's a player right there. He gave us some problems. We looked a little disjointed for obvious reasons. Most of these guys had never played together outside of training, you know. So they kind of ran through us a couple of times, but that's what they wanted to do. There was a moment, Mitch, where the ball kind of sort of hit Declan Rice's hand in the box. What's your take on that? There wasn't a penalty awarded, but what did you think? What do you think that was supposed to be there?
I have been on the record many times here on the Shirtless Plantain Show to say to you great folks who are listening, I don't know what a handball is. I have no idea. I never will know. And I will never find out. So I don't know. Because I thought that was, but then it wasn't. So I guess it's not. Again, I don't know what a handball is. I'm sorry.
I was definitely relieved. It seemed like the commentator said that it hit his chest first, then hit his hand, and that's why the ref decided that it wasn't a penalty kick. Does that pass the smell test for you, Coach?
Man, if they're not going to give that, then they have to go back to the Villa game and give Kai his goal, basically. That's what I'll say. Because that's what I thought. That's what I thought. But it's what it is. You notice that since Liverpool won the league, we're getting a little bit more decent decisions now. Has anyone noticed that? No?
Hey, you know, their job is done. You know, they got their little David Koo trophy out the way. We're all good. It's all good. Yeah, hopefully they keep this going and they don't reset it again at the beginning of next season.
We all know how that's going to go. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, let's leave that for next season. in the 21st, and I thought this was really interesting because generally when we see any of our other left center backs playing, like, we mostly built up through the left in this game because Raheem Sterling is a thief. But we looked really good on the left, and I appreciated it. I thought there were some really interesting rotations, especially and this is what confused me at the beginning. It was like, well, if Tierney's in the game, why isn't he at left back? What's going on? Like, he's supposed to be able to cross and push Martinelli in, but he was at left center back. But as the half went on, he was able to rotate out to the wing and actually get some crosses in. Of course, we didn't do shit with any of them because we don't have a natural nine in there, you know, but whatever. Gabby, you've long felt that we still need that kind of profile on the team. Do you still feel that way, or have you just accepted that we don't really play that way, so it's never really going to be a thing?
Accept that? I will never accept that. Look, do you see how many times he got the ball into the box? You will never tell me that we don't need that. You will never tell me that we don't need that. Like, I just wish Mikel would relent, but he won't because he's arrogant. So, alas, I just, even if we had a striker on today who is not Mikel Moreno, because he's not a striker, would we have scored any of them? Maybe, maybe not. Who knows? But I feel like if you're creating so many chances from just that, why overcomplicate it?
In the 23rd, there was a cross from Martinelli. Marino hit the post with a really nice header that probably should have gone in, alas. Then, Coach, here's where you come in to come explain the mindset of your people. It was very audible. Don't panic. It was very audible around, I want to say, like the 25th minute that the Southampton fans were singing a lot of second again, ole ole. Tottenham, they love Tottenham type songs. Like, were you expecting this? Were you expecting that? Was this going to happen no matter where we went this weekend?
Yeah, 100%. 100%. If there's one thing that this sport has got down, it's the fandom. I think the fandom, especially with match going fans, apart from Newcastle fans, I want to say, like, they, you know, the ironic chance, you know, the humorous chance, stuff like that, like, football fans have it down, like, we're the best at it by far. So it's, you can't take it personally because everybody, like, a team that's getting relegated literally singing second ole ole ole, you cannot get upset by that. It's impossible. It's actually impossible. So I was laughing my head off because, like, that's what it's about. And you're in a stadium, you laugh your head off as well, kind of thing. Like, it's just one of those things. You just give it back to them. Whatever you come up with, you're going down, you're going, like, anything. So I don't mind it. The Tottenham songs, again, it's just football fans trying to get under their skin. Like, that's all it is. Like, you can't take it personal, man. So it's par for course. It is what it is.
Yeah, fair enough. I did see that some of the Arsenal fans, when the camera panned to the Arsenal fans, some of the Arsenal fans had actually joined in with the chants. And that's the right reaction. Yeah. It's like, come on, man. So it's a nice Sunday afternoon in England. I mean, like, there are like five of those every year. Don't yeah. spend it beefing the like, weather shit out there. And the 35th, Mitch, Martinelli switched over to the right and Sterling came to the left. What'd you make of that? Why don't we see shit like that more often when we're struggling? And Coach, you come in after him with your thoughts on this as well.
Probably because Saka is locked down the right side so much to where, like, it's just like, yeah, man, you're one of the best players in the world over here. We're not going to make you go over to the other side. Is probably the most reasonable answer of why we don't switch wings very often. And in this game, we had a guy who sucks on the right wing. So it was like, yeah, we'll switch it up. Why not? Let's see what happens, see if anything changes. A point on Sterling real quick. This is his first season since he was 16 that he did not get a Premier League goal. That's fucking crazy. Like, I was, like, optimistic about the loan signing because it was so low risk. Like, Chelsea paid his wages for the season. He's going back to Chelsea. It was literally a no-lose situation for us. Except he was just, like, I thought he would at least contribute, like, a moment. And then nothing. His only good game was against Preston in the fucking League Cup. It's crazy.
You know what, Mitch? You're not wrong, but because you're white, that was racist. Coach?
I'm here to provide balance here because Sterling has not worked out for us, guys, and it's been, to be honest, it's just been horrible, straight up and down. It's been really, really bad. With that being said, they asked Kevin De Bruyne over the weekend who's the player in his entire career he's had the best connection with, like, telepathic connection. Without any hesitation, he said Sterling. And he's like, because Sterling, he listed it, things like Sterling is so intelligent, right? And I need to really home in on that because people have been talking crazy about him. He was like, Sterling is so intelligent, he makes my life, Kevin De Bruyne, he makes my life easier with how much he understands the game and how he moves and how he and knows what spaces to get into, kind of thing. Then he was like, also, he might not be the best finisher in terms of, you compare him to Haaland and to Aguero, but he's like, I can still play my game the way I want to play it because of him, kind of thing. Like, that is no, like, that's nothing to be sniffed at all. Like, Raheem Sterling, despite the Arsenal spell, has been one of the best players in the Premier League in the last 10 to 15 years. There's no doubt in my mind. And the Arsenal spell was a disaster, and his body is completely given up at this level, I think, at least, for the ambitions of a club like Arsenal. But yeah, like, I still believe he's got the respect of his fellow professionals at Arsenal, at least, because, you know, going off what I saw in the open training session, he was the best trainer that day, to my mind. He was the one that looked the sharpest, that was running the hardest and stuff like that. So there's no doubt in my mind that he's still committed. It's just that the body's gone. That's it, kind of thing. So, yeah.
You like that sometimes, you know. He did start at 16. Damn. I really wanted it to work out. I was so convinced it to work out. I was like, Mikel is this guy. They were together at City, blah, blah, blah. But, you know.
So, like, listen, there's a stat, it is, he played 463 games before he had left Man City. So he was already pretty much at the, what is he? He's probably got, that's about, 110,000 miles on the clock already before he's even got to Chelsea. He was already cooked. You know, 463 games before you make your step down. Yeah, you're cooked. You're already cooked. So
fair enough. We wish him well. Like, last question: where do you think he's gonna end up? I don't think he's gonna retire.
Get ready to learn MLS, buddy.
He can't go to MLS.
He can't play in MLS.
No, he can't.
He can't play in MLS. He cannot. No. Like the one thing you need in MLS is a genius level brain, which he has, but he gets on the end of shit.
Mm.
Or you have the athleticism left, and he doesn't. The athleticism is the main thing in MLS. Like, if you can't run, you can't play here.
Simple. Yeah. If he doesn't go there, then there could be, like, you know, he could end up at I think it's the wages as well. No, it's going to be difficult for him. He's like, Chelsea are gonna really do him dirty. He might not end up going anywhere because the wages are too high, and Chelsea have got Champions League football now. So he's now got, up to my mind, how many wingers do they have? They've got about 20 wingers. He's gonna have another 5 wingers ahead of him by the end of the transfer window. So he might end up getting to train with the under 14s at this point. So,
well, we wish him luck in his journey ahead. That shit didn't work out. Well, back to the game. in the 30th minute, the crowd was quiet enough that I could hear Albert Stoivenberg, since Mikel was up in the stands with the owner, so he could nag them about transfers for 2 hours. He got suspended from his yellow card in the last game. But I heard him telling the guys, keep the tempo up, keep the tempo up. And I was like, okay, that's good. Because a minute or two later, we had a sustained spell of pressure from basically like the 40th minute to almost the end of the half. There was a corner routine that led to a Zinchenko shot that got deflected. That probably goes in if it doesn't get deflected. I think it was a really good shot. There was a great pass over the top from Kieran Tierney that led to a 1v1 from Martinelli. Great save from Ramsdale, but I do think Martinelli should finish that. Gabby, am I being harsh there? I think I asked the wrong person. I'm about to shit on this nigga.
I quite literally tweeted when he did that, is this your king? Like, when he did that, I literally said, is this your king, I'm the bad guy. Because what the fuck was that? It wasn't. Ramsey was already on the ground, bro. Just lifted over his head.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm at peace. It is well.
Maybe he didn't want to embarrass his friend. You know, like, Rambo is still their friend, you know. Real quick, Coach. Kieran Tierney, is there an argument that, based on his skill set, he could have been a left-sided version of Trent with the right manager?
Well,
I feel like they have very similar qualities. Like, his passing and delivery is quite elite. Inverting, no.
Yeah, but that's where Trent now will earn his money at Real Madrid, and the way he's pretty much earned his money for Liverpool, like him being their entire sort of build-up system. I don't feel like you can give that responsibility to Tierney. But with that being said, his left foot is a wand, and you give him enough space and he'll kill you. Like, every single time he's played this season, he's created at least two good chances in the game just by swinging that left foot. He just knows where to put the ball. It's really, really satisfying to watch, man. But I wouldn't say he's like Trent. I wouldn't say he can fulfill a similar role. In a lesser team, he could be that sort of Trent Bastoni sort of defender where they rely on him in build up because of what he can do. So maybe in the Scottish league, where there's not a lot of good teams, maybe that could work. Maybe that, because we have to remember as well, for Scotland and for Celtic at times, he played centre back there in a three as well. So it could actually work. But yeah, just on Tierney and today, what the switching that he was doing, basically, it was, I know it doesn't look the same because he's not as handsome, but it was just what Calafiori was doing last week. Arteta's asked him to do exactly what Calafiori was doing last week. That's all it was. And because he's a fullback by trade kind of thing, it became a lot more natural because he can use his athleticism to run and move around kind of thing. Whereas Calafiori is obviously better on the ball, so he's going to divert to go essentially more. Like, he was just given the creative license that Calafiori had last week, you know, which is refreshing to see.
Yeah, he looked pretty good. It's against Southampton. Yeah. He did look pretty good.
Yeah.
And Rice almost scored an Olympico. Goalkeeper pushed it out for another corner. That was nice. The corner that came from that led to the goal in the 42nd minute. Basically, Tierney, in his final appearance for the club, and I ain't gonna lie to you motherfuckers, I teared up. I definitely teared up. He slid one in at the near post after another corner routine had Martinelli playing in white for a drilled low cross, and the finish was fantastic. So I ask you, Mitch, who was the better nine, Kieran Tierney or Mikel Merino?
Kieran Tierney. The numbers back him up. All one of his goals. He is the best number nine at Arsenal Football Club. But it was an incredible way for him to send off his Arsenal career. He was an incredible player in the worst of times. Coach with the highest of compliment of calling him Trent Alexander-Arnold-esque. And I truly think that he is, at least in my era of watching a lot of Arsenal, I think he's the most what-could-have-been player. Diaby gets brought up a lot of, like, in the mid-2000s kind of guy who is like, oh, just if he wasn't injured, he was going to be great. And I feel like that's how I feel about Kieran Tierney. He was truly a special player at all times for Arsenal. A wonderful personality to weather us all through the storm of that terrible period of time in which he was prominent with the team. And just brought a bit of charm that I think a lot of us needed. Especially like during COVID, of like bad time, just be around and be a sports fan. I will always think of him so unbelievably highly. I'm so glad that he got to go out on such a high. And I just saw a quote from Arteta about him. Do you mind if I read the quote real quick? What?
Do it in a sing-songy voice.
Okay, I'll do it in a sing-songy voice.
Don't do that, please.
He said yesterday, I'm going to score, and he's done it. A special thank you to him. He's been part of this journey, and he's won it with me. A really special character, and we wish him the best. The doors of this club are open for him. And I just thought that was very, very nice and very high praise from Mikel about a very wonderful player who, unfortunately, it didn't fully work out for here.
Yeah, it's a shame because it's very clear, even from today's performance, that he's probably still too good to go play in Scotland at this stage of his career, but he probably just wants to be by his people. And, you know, he's been through a lot. I imagine that having to rehab for half the year every year for the last 5 to 7 years has been very, very rough on his mental health. Not to make any assumptions or anything, but, you know, as someone that's been through a little bit of that myself, it's not fun, you know. So it's also very lonely. You know, like rehab.
He talks about that.
He talked about that in the documentary that we did. So
not only nothing. Yeah.
Right. He did mention that. So 42nd minute, 1-0 to the Arsenal. A nice goal on his final appearance for the club. His 6th goal for the club and his first since Boxing Day 2021. And because we're Arsenal on a random Sunday with nothing at stake, we allowed Suleimana to break on us one more time before the half to just keep the energy high. You know. So, coach, at halftime. I know you weren't really into this game. I could tell from your activity in the chat. I think you might have been watching Chelsea, you scumbag.
I wasn't actually watching Chelsea. I just got an update. That's what it was. I just got an update.
Okay. All right. I'll forgive next year, but I'll forgive someday. But yeah, did you think we should make any changes, coach, at halftime?
If there was going to be a change, I was kind of hoping that maybe Georgie can get on just for like some farewell minutes. But outside of that, yeah, I was just hoping that no more injuries, no more long-term injuries that could end up fucking up someone's preseason, basically. So, didn't really care too many. Like, all the changes we could have made, they were all first-team players, pretty much, you know. So, it was just whatever.
Fair enough. Second half started. First notable moment, to my recollection, was in the 52nd minute. Ethan took a shot that, he took a shot, then at some point, there was another short corner routine that ended up at Zinchenko's feet. And when he took the shot, the follow-through hit Suleimana in the head. And he was, like, bleeding from the mouth and nose at the same time. And I'm just like, bro, you motherfuckers got relegated. You don't have to try this hard, okay? I know Will still is in the stands, your new coach or whatever. But really, you should be trying to impress your agent by staying healthy so you can leave this bum-ass club and go play at a place where you can be 30 yards closer to goal. But I'm glad.
Now you know everybody got beef with Arsenal. They gotta try their hardest in our game.
This is true. This is where you make your name. Like, this is where other people notice you in a game against a team like Arsenal. So,
because who the fuck would know Shane Long if not for that goal against Arsenal? Let's be serious. Like,
Romeo Lavia went for $50 million after one performance against Arsenal.
Like, has anyone heard from him since?
No.
Y'all need to chill with that. Romeo nice, all right? That's Maresca. No Romeo, no party for Chelsea, unfortunately. Did he play today? He probably played today.
No, I think he was injured.
He's always injured. All right, on we go. For whatever reason, we let some kid named Robinson, he was wearing number 49 for them, so maybe he's there, Miles Lewis-Skelly. He dribbled into our box, took a shot, Raya made a save. I thought to myself, yeah, we gonna win this clean sheet thing solo. But, the corner after that led to a goal from some beanpo named Stewart. Scored a nice header, clean sheet gone, but Raya is still going to win the Golden Glove. Mitch, since you were once a bad goalkeeper, I'll allow you to venerate Arsenal's new number one since he's leaving 22 for Ethan next season.
I feel like I've been on the record before of being a hater of how the Golden Glove is decided. I don't think that it should be based on clean sheets because I think that's not entirely a goalkeeper stat. You defend it as a team. You don't you score as an individual, but you defend it as a team. I think it's easier to quantify more attacking stats than it is defensive. That being said, David Raya is one of the best goalkeepers in the Premier League and deserves an award to reflect that. That's not taking away the fact that he has won the Golden Glove the last 2 years. I just don't think, like, 3 years ago, David De Gea won it. He was the 20th best goalkeeper in the Premier League that season. 19th, shout out Danny Ward. But it's still an achievement, and congratulations to David Raya.
Hey man, and apologies to Danny Wirtz. Sorry you took that straight shot from Mitch, man.
Like, that's crazy. I can't lie.
Mitch beefing with everybody. See, I don't know what's going on, man. After the goal, we kept the tempo up pretty well because Sugiwara had to clear off the line after Ethan played a lovely through ball into White. Nice overlap, cross it in. Martinelli glanced it on. Probably should have hit it harder to just get the goal, but it seemed like it was going to trickle in. But Sugiwara got there, cleared it off the line. I think it was after that Zinchenko tried to murder the little African boy. Shame. In any event, hour came along and there were subs. Yeah, Suleimana, he's from Ghana. You know, like, that's Africa, isn't it? Yo, coach, is Ghana in Africa? Do we still claim them?
Depends. What day is it today? Sunday.
It's Sunday, yeah.
No, not Sunday. It's not Sunday.
Damn, so I was right. All right. So, Trossard came on for Kieran Tierney at the hour mark, and Saka came on for Raheem Sterling. And we saw five move to right center back. So it didn't get any more ragged, but it was just an indication of what kind of game this was. This was, you know, the Cancun Cup, if you will. So another Zinchenko shot. He had a lot of shots. Very Ukrainian of him.
I loved the way he played today, because it was just a fuck it, this is the last game of the season, I'm going to take some shots from deep. And I'm like, yeah, dude. Like, in the same way that Rice went for an Olympico, yeah, take your fucking shots. Who cares? You're playing for nothing. Do whatever the fuck you want.
He was definitely influenced by the crowd. Every time they were saying, shoot, he would shoot. And I was like, look at you. Emotional.
this is why Arteta is selling you. Saka looked good when he came on. He looked good. He looked like if he had started, he would have scored already. Put it that way. He was that sharp when he came on, you know, and I appreciated that. In the 69th minute, nice. MLS came on for Zinchenko, and Kai came on for Martinelli. Then nothing happened for like 5 minutes before the captain came on for Ethan, which made me very happy because I was like, listen, I've been hating on this dude all year. Yeah, it did. Because I'll be fair, like Ethan, I wouldn't say he had a bad game because I still judge him by a different standard from the rest of the first teamers. But he wasn't very visible in this game. You know, he had his moments, but he was a bit quiet. So it was nice to see Odegaard. And I just didn't want the last thing I remembered of Odegaard to be him being on the bench for the entirety of the last game of the season. It's like, you're not hurt, so let's see him real quick, you know. And he came on, and as Mitch mentioned earlier, he got his armband, which was nice. But before we get to the fun parts, Saka headed in after some nice interplay on the left, which was where we did most of our work. And it was pretty clear during the play that he was offside. But I thought the build-up to that play was really fantastic, Gabby.
So did I. I'm not going to lie. You said it was clear that he was offside. I did not think he was offside for a second. I was like, what do you mean? And then I was like, oh, wait, never mind. I just want something to be upset about. Not the refs fucking us one more time.
You got to use that as a sound effect moving forward. What do you mean?
Yeah, but I just feel like when our starters came out, we just played with more urgency. Like we were zipping the ball around, especially when we had the triangle, the triangle of truth right there. The Ben White, the Odegaard, and Saka.
Saka, yeah, lovely. Yeah. And I think one of my favorite themes, and I'm probably over-indexing this because it never really changed throughout the season, but what I really appreciate about Odegaard's struggles this season is that he never lost the trust of his teammates. Like, sometimes you can tell when players don't trust the player as much anymore. They don't pass them as often. They will look them off. That never happened with Odegaard.
That Ozil Alexis two-man step, man.
That's it right there. Like, Aaron Ramsey, never met him. Never met him. Yeah. Actually, not so bad.
And he was right too as well.
What? Alexis was right to ignore Ramsey?
No, I'm talking about Ramsey. Of course.
No, what he said the first time, he was right.
No. I mean, one of them is like, you know, not walking back at Arsenal. The other one is, that tells you everything you need to know. So.
That tells you all you need to know. You're right. Odegaard had a lovely cross into Kai Havertz, which, for me, nothing happened from this cross. But I bring it up now because, and I'm probably overdoing this, I am obsessed with body transformations. And Kai Havertz has clearly been on the steroids, guys. Like, this man has been eating all the donkey meat he could find.
He would never
do that. Listen, he's on the Leon Goretzka like regimen.
Come on. Listen, I just want to, I need us all as a family to come together and admit that Arsenal is now an elite club because we're giving steroids to our players. Okay, this is not something we used to do, but we're now doing it. Yeah. I mean, this is a very visible difference, coach. Did you notice this at the open training when you went?
You know, I think I mentioned I did, but it was more, to me, it was more of the fact that Ra, he's actually back in training, because I didn't expect a hamstring injury as late as he got it for him to be back in training that quick. So that probably lends more to the fact that he definitely was on some sort of help. No, you're right. Like, we definitely are an elite club because, yeah, I remember there was a report from Arsene Wenger made a comment, loads of comments actually, about whenever you'd sign players and they do the medical and stuff like that, they'd notice like how much higher like the oxygen in their blood would be coming from certain clubs and stuff like that. And it's like, well, where did you sign these players from? I looked down the list, like, Spain, from those clubs, okay, it's all making sense. Yeah, from Serie A, you know, it's all making a little bit more sense now, kind of thing. So, yeah, we're playing in the big leagues now, so I can't be mad at that.
which is what
we know why he was eating for two, being a baby.
She said Kyle was bulking because his wife was pregnant. That's incredible. That's like the sort of thing boxers say when they get caught for doping. Like, my wife ate a lot of steak and we had too much sex. Then you tested me and I tested positive. And don't take my belt, please. Assholes. All right, let's get to the winning moment of the game. A superb shot from Odegaard. I feel like he thought about it a little bit before he drilled it. He was like, and everyone was just like, come on, man. And he was like, fuck it. And the ball went in, and I felt bad for Ramsdale, but happy for Arsenal. Gosh, who wants to talk about this goal? Because I don't.
I'm
not that happy about it. All right.
You're a yapper. Okay. You've been talking all the whole time. No more talking from coach.
All right. Well, since Gabby apparently runs the show now, you can start.
Right. So first of all, let's just say, feel bad for Ramsdale. I do not. Hit him again. Hit him for me. Odegaard, once you are fit, fully fit, once that ankle is fully fit again and it's not like a fucking slinky, we'll be back, because that ozone, I will not forget. I will not forget that season where we had the ozone. That's where he was shooting from. I feel like I forgot who he passed the ball to and then called for it back, because there's a defender on the man who he passed the ball to. And that defender comes toward him. He draws him in and then shimmies past him like he does, and the way that Odegaard does, and slaps it. And I was like, yeah. And everyone's like, oh, well, why wasn't he doing this all season? Because he was injured, bro. He was injured. It's so obvious that he wasn't playing like he normally does. And I just want him to have a fully fit season. I mean, we say that for all of the players, obviously. Tommy asked you if you can hear me. Specifically you. Specifically you. I said Tommy asked you if you can hear me.
I've never heard of that guy. Who is that? Is he an Arsenal player?
He's a concept of a plan.
Mm-hmm. I've heard the idea of Tomiyasu. I've never heard of the player Tomiyasu, but I've heard of the idea.
One day, we will one be day, back.
What did you want to say on the goal, Mitch?
Nothing too dissimilar from what Gabby said. It was a little frustrating just because it's like, what Gabby said was great. Like, yeah, he's been injured. That's why he has been doing that. But it's so frustrating where it's like, yeah, man, we know that's in your fucking bag. Why have you been kind of scared to take that shot this year? Which is, you know, why it's been a frustrating year for him. So it was lovely to have that. Lovely to end the season on a win, even though this game was dumb and I didn't care about it.
Coach, you have something to say about the captain.
Yeah, man, just I've not once really wavered on his quality. It's just once I accepted that he's played through the injury since he got back, a lot of things start to make a lot more sense. I think a couple of months ago I brought up player ticks and stuff like that, and even the way he fashioned his shot today, you know, he absorbed the contact, he went around the man, all those sorts of things matter. Like, athletes in general, like, it's very rare to find an athlete, I think, that is always 100% fit, that's never ever carrying something, kind of thing. Like, they're always using their body one way or the other to compensate for another part of their body that's not working the way it should be. And I think that's, I want to give Odegaard the benefit of the doubt and say that's what's been happening to him. But that shot that, you know, that's he shot, you know, drilling it to the far right hand corner, that's a good sign for his body. I think he's ready, you know, next season we should be starting on fire. He should be starting on fire, should I say.
I love that he's fit in time for the Champions League final.
Yeah basically.
Oh man, any concern, guys, when Saka went down near the end? He slipped and he had the medic come on to look at him, but he came back on the field afterwards.
It looked like a groin. I thought it was hamstring. He was holding the same hamstring, but apparently he might have been. I think it looked like a groin more than anything. So, yeah.
All right. Well, maybe this is him trying to fraud his way out of Thomas Tuchel's camp, which I would be okay with. I ain't going to lie to you, man. I'll be okay with that. You know, he missed the first one, too. In any event, that was our season. This is not the time for a season review by any means. That's going to be a whole pot of its own, and hopefully we have the whole gang present, provided Mitch ain't doing no white boy shit. However, starting with Mitch, I would like you to give the season a grade and briefly explain why you give the season that grade, and emphasis on briefly, because we've been talking for a while.
Yeah. I'll go with a B. I honestly, the fact that we were Champions League semifinalists and still finished second in the league despite all the bad shit that happened, pretty impressive. Like, the fact that we had no one over 10 goals in the Premier League and still finished second, unreal. A masterclass by Arteta, if we're being real. That's crazy. I don't know how we did that. And the fact that we makeshifted our way into a Champions League semifinal, honestly pretty impressive. For the expectations for the season, a little disappointing, to say the least. But a lot to build on. We're gonna win things. Don't worry, people.
All right, Gabby?
C, for sure. You're lucky they didn't give a C minus, because this has been the season from hell. And I do not say that facetiously. Like, the Champions League semifinal was nice, but everything else, horrendous.
Very well said. That, you know, the vibes are great right now. Coach, what's your grade for the season?
B minus. The minus comes from basically what we didn't do in January, basically. That's where a lot of my annoyance comes from. But grind for everything else. Finish, we was never in any real danger of falling out of second place, despite, you know, what the negative Nancy's wanted to, you know, project.
Her name is Gabby, not Nancy, okay?
it wasn't just her, to be fair to her, but like, there was, you know, we was never ever danger of at least falling out of there. And then on top of the fact that you're looking at the top seven sort of teams in the league, we came out on top of that league as well. The only game we lost was against Newcastle. We beat or drew with everyone else. I think we beat everyone at least once, actually. Apart from Liverpool, but everyone else we beat at least once. Just looking at it from us competing against the best, I can't be mad at that, you know, and in the league at least, and then competing against the best in Europe as well. Like, you know, we beat some pretty good teams along the way, you know. Disappointing season, but not a project ending season, if you like. So nowhere near it, to be honest.
Nowhere near it. And you should probably leave now, but I feel like the vibes are a little somber. So let's go back to where we started. Why are we having a parade? Is Josh being sheep? What's going on here, people?
I don't know what the fuck's going on, but they can fight me for real. They're having a trophy lift at the store, at the armory or something like that, which is like for 10,000 fans max. And I'm like, no.
Yeah, I'm not being funny. That is a lot. We did it for the FA Cup. We did it for the FA Cup in 2014, and that was mental. I thought they weren't having anything at all, but that's fine to my estimate. You have to remember as well, like, the planning permission and stuff and all that kind of thing. Like, you can't have a parade for let's be honest, not as many people would turn up, you know, as they would, let's say.
Okay, let me ask you this, Coach, since you know London so well and you know planning and permitting and all that. Yeah. Who would have the better turnout? Spurs for winning the Europa League final or Arsenal for the Women's Champions League final?
We already know the answer to that. Just based on pure sort of putting them in their place, that we'd make it the biggest parade in London ever. Just to shit on it.
You know, and but, that, my friends, is why what they did doesn't matter to us.
Yeah.
Yeah. In any event, it's been lovely spending time with you guys for the last, I don't know, it's felt longer than 38 weeks, even though it was 38 match days, but it's been longer than that. But thank you for rocking with us as always. We really appreciate you. You don't have to be here, but you are, and we love you for that. You know the drill. Tell a friend, like, subscribe, share. We don't know what the summer plans are, but there are four of us, and that's a lot of words, so I'm sure we'll get things out as important things happen. We can promise you that. Any parting words for the people, my friends?
Yeah, season review is coming soon. Very high and in-depth work. Lots of words and lots of heavy breathing and whatever else. So, yeah, just look out for that, where we cover everything on and off the pitch that's happened this season. Hopefully that'll satisfy a few people. So, yeah.
Gabby, how about you say something nice for before we leave? Yeah.
Say something nice.
Something nice.
It feels like bile in my throat. Something nice about this men's team.
You know what? That was talking about the women's team then.
That was nice enough, to be honest. I didn't expect
it to go. I was going to say, I am very happy to be a European champion. Fuck Chelsea specifically. I'm glad that you guys have been rocking with us for. I know it seems like I'm miserable, but like I just want to see us win something. I feel like the fans deserve to see us win something. This team win something. The men's team win something. And I hopefully we get it. Hopefully we get it next season.
Mitch?
Champions of Europe, you'll never sing that. And sign Chloe Kelly permanently.
Yeah, they should make that happen. That whole uncertainty in her tone during that interview, I didn't like that. Like, y'all need to make that. Josh, get on it, okay? If you're not going to do the Chloe Kelly, do that for us.
And get some black people on that hell team. Yeah.
Sign Caicedo. Sign her. Yeah, she black. Yeah. Or Aziza, or somebody. All right, folks. Thank you as always. You know what to tell the people.
Peace.
My plants and sugar, my plants and sugar, ah. Plants and sugar, 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 plants and sug